I don't think that our pastor needs any invitation in reality, but I would ask for him your prayers and your careful attention, knowing that he listens to the direction of the Father, and that he is prepared what he feels like that the Lord has directed him to speak this day. And we lose if we don't listen and if we don't prepare ourselves to hear the message that the Lord has in store for us this morning. So I ask for Jim, your careful and your prayerful attention. Brother Jim.
Good morning to each and every one of you. I see that I'm in good company with the sniffles and the coughs and the, everything else that everybody has. So I'm right there along with you. This sermon this morning took a lot of twists and turns for me. I thought, as I prepared, what I normally do is the week before I preach, I spent a little time in prayer about the sermon and what God would like for me to bring. And I write down notes of what I think that the Lord wants me to deliver. So last night, when things got quiet at home, I thought I had a sermon pretty much done. I had about 2/3 of a page of notes. Well, the sermon I have on my paper has nothing to do with all the notes that I've prepared over the last few days. The Lord totally changed what I was going to deliver. And what I feel like I was to bring to you tonight, or to this morning, it talks about our basic belief. What do we believe? But as I looked in the scriptures and I studied and I went through things, I found out that I couldn't divide faith from belief. So you will hear something about faith. You'll hear a lot of scriptures about faith. And I think the Lord is preparing us for something, because we've had several sermons as of late about our faith. And so I think the Lord is talking to us. He's trying to direct us and prepare us for the future that lies before us. I would like to start this morning in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And most of the scriptures that I'll read today are well known to each and every one of you. But they... I think they bear to be reminded of the importance of the written word and the things that they bring us. So Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Today, more than any other time in our history, I feel that is an important statement. That we be strong in the Lord. That our thoughts will be on things of the Lord. Our endeavors that help us and our families and our work are not there just to help us. It is to glorify God's name. And no matter what happens to us, around us, in our future, remember the power of his might. And he has tried to prepare us for that future. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't know if he's getting more cunning or if mankind in our infinite wisdom has given him more tools to use that he might deceive us and might use his bag of tricks. Or we, as those in our past, have chose not to learn from history. We've chose not to learn from those that have gone before us and had things written down in the scriptures. But we need to put on that whole armor of God. Be willing to use it. Know what it's there for. Know how to take care of it. Know how to repair it if it gets broken. Know how to clean it and put it back together. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And there will be days for each and every one of us. And there'll be days for us as a group of people that we're going to be spiritually weary. And we have done all we can do to stand. And we need to come here to strengthen one another, to be fed with the Word of God, to be strengthened. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are all important parts of our armor. But something that I have not really looked at, and I know it's been preached, but for some reason it didn't click in my mind, the next few words. Above all. Above all. Take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But above all those things, pick up the shield of faith. Adam has brought his shield for work, and we've seen it. It's big, it's heavy, it'll cover the whole body. In history, we look at the Roman soldiers, they had shields that stood as tall as they did. Big round shields, big square shields. Also, there are shields called bucklers that are small shields that fit on your wrist. Some are made to plant and to protect, and others are made to move quickly to deflect the fiery darts of the adversary. We need to know how to use all of those shields, not just one, but all of them. Those that we can move quickly if we need to grab one, or those that we need to grab and to plant it into the dirt and to lean against it and to hold it, because the torrent that is coming towards us and our loved ones is so great, we need to build a wall with faith. And I believe, that is where we're going to be attacked the hardest, is our faith. Because if you strip away your faith, it weakens what's underneath that faith, our belief, our basic core belief system in God. That is the strength that we have to wield that shield, is our belief. Because the Word of God says if you take that shield, it will defend you. But if you take away that shield, what are we? What do we have? Belief. I had to look it up. In the dictionary, is a state of believing. I like it when they use the word to define the word. It's a state of believing, the conviction, or the acceptance that certain things are true and real. Scriptures tell us that faith is the belief in things that we can't see, and hope for things, hope for things that that we can't see. But it's our belief that supports that faith. To believe is to take as true or as real. In school, I was given theories in science that I had to learn. And I always liked that, because some of my instructors said these theories are to be believed. There's always one in the class, typically me. I thought the definition of a theory is something to be worked on to prove. But if it can't be proved, therefore it's not true. It is just a theory. My belief is this because I can see it, touch it, and smell it. I know that it is true. And by faith, I believe that God is. And I have felt his presence. Therefore, I believe. Brother Adam talked about how things have strengthened his belief through faith. We need to remember that all that we see and hear and do in Christ, from the smallest to the largest thing, is there to strengthen our belief in our faith. One of the things that worry me is, like I said, if you strip away that shield of faith, what do we have left? We have belief. Well, if you look in the scriptures, they say you must be baptized. But in the world today, in the Christian community, all you have to do is believe. You don't have to have faith. You don't have to have any works. All you have to do is believe. Turn to Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. First Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. And now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Departing from the faith. They willingly laid down their faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. We were warned. Those are attacks that are going to be coming onto us to tell us you don't have to have faith. Don't have to do anything but believe. 2 Nephi, page 153. Had a chuckle with our Sunday school class today. 12th chapter, 4th through the 8th verse. 2 Nephi 12. And thus shall everyone say they have built up a church and not unto the Lord. Joel told us the other day there's 50,000? 58,000 churches in the world today. 58,000. Why isn't there only one? Because in latter days they would lay down their faith. And they start accepting strange doctrines that Christ didn't teach. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which given utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel, and they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear our precepts. For behold, there is no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer had done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken unto my precepts, for it shall, if they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he hath not a God of miracles, and he hath done his work. Scriptures tell us if we deny the very power of God, we call him a liar. This is exactly what they're doing. They're talking about having a belief, but denying the very power thereof. Is it something that's new? No. Turn with me over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the fifth chapter, starting with the second verse, reading the second and third verses. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. All those individuals say that the Lord liveth, just like they did in Old Jerusalem, some 600 years before Christ. For the Lord, our Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. Are we that way? As a nation, we are. Is this something that we as a people need to watch for? Yes. The Church of Christ needs to make sure that we do not follow in these footsteps. That we not heed to God's correction. They have made their faces harder than the rock, and they refuse to return. One of our basic instincts, which is so hard for mankind, is to see their faults and see their frailties and see their mistakes and then change them for better. We lack humility. And we bow our neck and refuse to receive God's correction. Therefore, I say, surely these are poor, and they are foolish, for they know not the ways of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Jeremiah was speaking to the house of Israel, but it's no different than what Nephi was prophesying about our day and age. Saying that there is a God, but denying the power thereof. One of the things that bothers me with the statement, all you have to do is believe, we can find an answer in James in the second chapter. James 2, 14 through 20. Speaking of faith. What does it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which they are in need of, the body, and doth it, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. One of the greatest things, if you try to testify of your belief in God, as the scriptures say it, they'll flat tell you, if you believe in works, you're in trouble. But God tells us to believe and do good works. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Interesting statement. They're talking about faith. The devils believe, and they do tremble. We're being bombarded by just believe and not to tremble. Matthew, the 8th chapter. Excuse me. Matthew 8, start at the 20th verse, speaking of Christ. And when he had come into the other side of the country of Dionysus, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man may pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They know who Christ is. But they're not going to change. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou wilt cast us out, suffer us to go unto the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city, and told everything and what was befallen to the process of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. They knew, they believed that he had the power to cast out demons. They saw it. They knew he could do it. But what did they lack? They lacked the faith to have the knowledge that this man was their Messiah. They lacked the faith to take the next step. Just because you believe and you saw him cast out devils, what profited them? Nothing. Because they didn't believe, they didn't have the faith to accept him as their Lord and Savior. Mark 1. another instance, Christ casting out demons. Mark 1:21. To 34. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. See the picture? This man has come in their midst. And he taught them as one having authority. Where did that authority come from? They believed it was authority of God. And he wasn't just a scribe that had read it before. He taught it. He knew it. It had meaning. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Even though they heard the voice, he was still just a man that had it, that taught them with authority. They had the same belief that the devil had, because he knew Christ had the authority to cast him out. "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him and saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all around in Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and none they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever had left her, and she administered unto them. And at the evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered that not the devils to speak, because they knew him. It makes me wonder how many were converted. The devil knew who Christ was. They know. They believe. But we know that they already did a battle in heaven and they were thrown out. Can angels repent? I don't know. But we can. We can repent. And I'm hoping that by these examples you see that you must have belief and have faith. They go hand in hand. I'll say it again, it's our belief, the strength of our belief, that allows us to wield the shield of faith. But if you strip away that faith, and you don't believe, have the faith and belief in God that He is something other than just a man, Christ is just a man, then you're no different than these devils. Because they believed. We are a very fortunate people. Because we have seen God's hand move. And we've seen things that should strengthen our faith. But we must be wary. Because we're told in Luke, in the 12th chapter, something very important. It's a parable of the stewards. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward who his Lord shall make him ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is a servant who the Lord, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing." Find him doing. Find him working. Exercising his belief. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant says in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," and shall begin to beat the men servant and the maids, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour when he is unaware, it will be cut in asunder, and will appoint him to his portion with the unbelievers. We don't know when our time is over. When we go to meet our Maker. We don't know the exact time that Christ is going to return in all his glory. He is going to come and catch us unaware. If we're not prepared, if we're not exercising our belief and our faith daily, we're going to be caught unaware. Either when we lay down this life, or when he returns. And we will receive that portion if we're not good stewards with the unbelievers. And the servant which knows his Lord's will and prepareth not himself, neither doing according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knoweth not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, to him shall be much required. We have been given much. God requires much. We can't just accept from the hand of God without giving back. Much is given, much is required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask that more. Much is given, much is required. How does God require things of us? One of the ways is a trial of our faith. Let's go with me into 3 Nephi. Page 671. 12th chapter, 3rd Nephi, verse through the 5th verse. And there they cannot be written in the books, even a hundredth part of the things which Jesus did teach unto the people. But behold, the place in Nephi did contain the more parts of those things which he taught the people. And these things have I written, which are the lesser part of the things which he taught the people. And I have written them in the intent that they may be brought again unto the people, from the unto this people, from the Gentiles, according to the words which Christ spoke. And when they have received this, which is expedient, that they should have first to try their faith. And if it shall be that they shall believe these things, then shall the greater thing be manifested unto them. And if it so be that they shall not believe these things, then shall the greater things be withheld from them who they from them unto their condemnation. Behold, I was about to write them all which was engraved upon the plates of Nephi, but the Lord forbid it, saying that I will try the faith of my people. Therefore I, Mormon, did write the things which have been commanded of me of the Lord. He's going to try us. He's going to try our faith. As our faith becomes knowledge, it becomes belief. It should be a building block. A muscle builder. We need to be prepared to have our faith tried. But it's a two-way street. We have a promise from God. First John. Fourth chapter, First John. Starting with the first verse. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are good, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. As the scriptures have told us, it started 60 years after Christ walked this earth. They already had people trying to pervert the gospel of Christ and to change it. The adversary was already throwing in little chinks and things to make people stumble. Hereby you know the Spirit is good. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that should come. It was already there. He was already fighting against the church. And even now, already, is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The promise, if you have the faith to accept it, and the strong belief to keep it there. But we're told to try. Try the spirits. God wants us to try him to see that he is faithful. Page 775 in the Book of Mormon, Moroni, the 10th chapter. This is one of the scriptures I use when I talk to people concerning the Book of Mormon. It says, when you have received these things, I would exhort you that you ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are true. Verse 4. Let's go back to the third verse. Behold, I would exhort you that when you shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that you should read them, that you would remember how merciful the Lord has been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even down unto this time, that you should receive these things and ponder them in your heart. The mercies of God has been handed down. He hasn't changed. He's warned us in the scriptures. He's tried to teach us, to help us. We should ponder all these things within our heart. And when you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are true. And if you ask with a sincere heart and a real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you will know the truth of all things. Whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth Christ, but acknowledges that he is. If you're going to acknowledge Christ, you have to acknowledge all of Christ. You can't pick and choose what part you want. Same thing with God. You can't pick and choose. You can't just say, I know he's going to give me all these blessings, and I don't have to do anything except accept them. Because that's not what he taught us. And you may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherein I would exhort you, that you deny not the power of God. For he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that you deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. I like this scripture. Like I said, I use it when I talk to people about the Book of Mormon. Because I tell them point blank, it's not my job to convince you that the Word of God is true. My job to testify to you of it. It's my job to show you the Scriptures. It is your job to go to God and have Him prove them to you. Who proved to you that the words in the Bible were true? That same God will prove that the words in the Book of Mormon are true. I don't have to prove a thing. I just have to show them to you. Takes a big load off our shoulders. We don't have to prove anything to anybody. We just have to keep God's commandments. We have to walk the walk and talk the walk. We have to do both. And let our works show our faith. And glorify God's name. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Chapter of Hall of Faith, and we talk about Enoch, and they talk about Noah, and they talk about Abraham, and Sarah and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua, even Rahab. But then most of us stop right there. So I'd like to continue with verses 32 to verses 40 in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. My book says, many heroes of faith. And when shall I, and what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Simon, and of Jephthah, and of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets. How many people did Paul have to write down to prove things of faith? If you look at those names, go back and read what they did. But one of the things you will find, they are imperfect men. Gideon. An angel showed him by causing fire to come out of a rock to consume his sacrifice. God showed him twice of his power because he asked God to do so. Frost on the ground, no frost on the fleece. Frost on the fleece, no frost on the ground. And then he still was a little shaky. Barak was told to go down to Midianites. He didn't want to. So he went to Deborah, a judge. And Deborah said, the Lord will deliver that king unto you of Assyria, but not to your hand because of your lack of faith, but into the hands of a woman. But he went, but he was shaky. We know the life of David. We know the life of Samuel. And we go on. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I read that, I go, well, whose name's not there? How about John the Baptist? Joseph, the earthly father of Christ. Just to name two. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of their weakness were made strong. Wax violent in fight, turn the fight of armies of the aliens. Women received their dead risen to life again, and others were tortured, but accepting deliverance that they might obtain a more better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and a scourging, yea, moreover, of bondage and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, or whom the world was not worthy. They wandered the desert in the mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, receiving not the promise. All these people that Christ is talking or Paul is talking about did not see the fruits of their faith. They did not see it come to fruition. But yet they still maintained their faith, sometimes with great struggle. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, we go through struggles at times, and we may not see the outcome of our faith and our belief in God for a long time. We're a now world. I want it now. I see it. I want it. I want to own it. I want to have it. I want instant gratification. But that's not how God works. Sometimes he'll give it to us immediately. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you'll be going along, as I have. I know I prayed about stuff, and I was wondering, you know, Lord, are you ever going to handle that? Are you ever going to help me with that? And I still would be shaking, scratching my head, and go, well, I don't know how the Lord dealt with me there. Years later, I turn around and look at my life, and I go, that's where he intervened. That's where he changed my direction. That's where he blessed me. At the time, I didn't see it. It was years later. There it was. And I often think, would I have been better blessed if I'd have known about it at the time? And I go about it and go, no, really not. Because I probably would not have accepted it at the moment. But now I can see where it has affected my life for the good, and I can accept it. First Peter, the first chapter. Verses 2-9. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and goodness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this gift, all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. These are our promises to us. Like I said, we may not see them happen at that moment. But if you're patient, you keep your belief strong and your faith strong, you'll be able to look back at him and see where he has dealt with you. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, first through the fourth verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily besiege us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. With patience. With patience. Have faith. Believe on God that he will keep his promises. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such condemnation of sinners against him, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Be not weary, be not faint, when you can add to your belief, when you can add to your faith. Look for the opportunities to do so. But understand, all of us here have not resisted sin unto blood. We have not resisted it. The scripture reads, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We have not worked that hard against the sin in our lives. We have not worked that hard to strengthen our faith and our belief. We need to do so. Thank you for your time.